dared to touch him uninvited. Before his human life had begun, everyone who came into contact with him quivered in fear of his strength and sternness. But Landry was a bully. He enjoyed his minuscule power over the people who worked for him. He only felt good about himself when they were groveling for their livelihood. And as much as it sucked, Jericho needed this job. As the world became more modern, it was getting harder and harder to find people who could make fake IDs at a reasonable price and who were willing to let him live off the grid. Other immortals were allowed to accumulate wealth, but that, too, was beyond him. Any time he tried to save even a dollar, Zeus cleaned him out. One catastrophe after another. So had been his existence for so many centuries that he no longer even bothered to count them. He was nothing, and he would never have anything again, not even dignity. Sighing, he went back to work, hating himself and this life. You could change that. It had to be bad for Zeus to send someone to ask for his help. You could be a god again. The dream of that thought tormented him. It was tempting except for one thing. He'd have to look at the very beings who had turned their backs on him and left him to this pathetic state. Every one of those bastards had ignored him. Every one of them. Or worse, they had tortured him. Every single night. For thousands of years, the Dolophini, the children of the Furies, and the dream gods had come to him and killed him. And every morning he was resurrected to live this miserable existence right where he had left off the night before. Over and over. Bloody and violent. No matter how hard he tried to fight them off, he held no powers against them. They gleefully held him down and beat him or carved him to maximize the pain of his sentence. Every organ in his body had been torn out of him so many times that the pain was seared into his DNA. He dreaded every night and the horror it would ultimately bring. Just last night, two of them had cut his heart out again. At the end of the day, he would never forgive what had been done to him. So what if something was threatening the world? If the world was to end, then at least he'd have some peace. Maybe this time, he'd actually stay dead. Delphine returned to Olympus so she could spend the rest of the day researching her latest target. For hours, she watched him work in solitude. While the other men joked and laughed with each other, he kept to himself, bitterly alone. Every now and again, she'd see him look up at the others and their camaraderie with a glint of longing so potent it made her ache. They ignored him as if he were invisible. At 6:30, he washed up after the others were finished and leaving. He pulled his coveralls off, tucked them into a beat-up black cloth backpack that he slung over his shoulder, and headed out on an older-styled motorcycle. He stopped briefly to go into a small grocery store on a corner where he grabbed a loaf of bread, chicken salad spread, a paperback novel, and a six-pack of beer. Without speaking to a single person, he paid for it, tucked it into his backpack, and went home to a tiny one-room efficiency apartment. The place was so run down, even the scuffed, chipped linoleum floor dipped in the middle. She wondered how the building kept from falling down around him. It had to be the most depressing thing she'd ever seen. There was no furniture whatsoever, not a single piece, or even a TV or a computer. Worn blankets were pinned to the windows for curtains, and his bed was only a threadbare sleeping blanket on the floor with a single pillow that was so old and flat, he might as well not have it. Next to that, he had one additional pair of shoes and a small stack of clothes and one old wool jacket. That was it. Her heart clenched as she watched him open a beer, then washed the coveralls in the sink before he hung them up to dry in the run-down bathroom. Brushing his hand through his dark hair, he went back to the kitchen, which had no stove and only a filthy old refrigerator, to make a single sandwich out of the bread that had been flattened in his backpack. He ate it in silence while sitting on the sleeping blanket, reading his book. Every now and again, he'd look up expectantly at any sudden sound. Once he was sure it was nothing, he'd return to his reading. Just after midnight, he sighed and stared up at his ceiling.
"Where the hell are you, assholes? You scared or something?"
He waited, as if he really expected an answer. Glaring furiously, he put the book on the floor and pulled his tank top off to show her a chest rife with horrendous scars. She would think them battle wounds, but they were so jagged and torn that they appeared to be where his vital organs had been viciously ripped out of his body.
"Fine,"
he said, his tone filled with disgust.
"Just don't leave too big a mess in my place. I'm sick of having to clean up blood first thing in the morning, and don't fuck up my book. I'd like to finish it for once."
He turned out the lights and went to sleep. Alone, and in total solitude. Who had he been talking to? He's gone insane from his punishment. Hephaestus had warned her of his delicate mental state. Obviously, the god was right. Delphine sat in the darkness, waiting for Kratos to reach the dream state, which took forever since he seemed to be fighting sleep. It was as if he was waiting for someone to attack him, and he wanted to be alert when they did. As she waited, all she wanted to do was comfort him, and she didn't even understand why. She had never felt a compulsion like this before. Probably because she knew what it was like to feel isolated from the world. Granted, not as much as he was, but she still remembered the desolate feelings of her former life. As a young woman, she had lived among the humans and had thought herself one of them.